Ice spread a song so you can sing along with a special guest or two.
Or two.
You like to sing and dance, and this podcast, by chance, explores musicals for you. Theme song, yeah.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Life's But a Song's Second Chance Theater, where we recover a topic but with a new guest. I'm your host, John. With me today is a returning guest who hasn't been on in a while. Yeah, no, she hasn't. She's the host of Crushgasm. It's Kendra Beltran, everyone.
Woo! Hi, thanks for having me back.
Well, thank you for coming back.
Of course.
It's been like a minute, I feel like. But yeah, I don't know what time early. It is.
Yeah, who knows? It's a construct.
Yes. And we're here today to recover the It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia episode, The Night Man Cometh. Previously, it was episode number 26 with the guest Diana DiCostanzo. And Kendra, my question that I like to ask at the beginning of these Second Chance episodes is, why did you want to recover this topic?
Well, it's been a minute. It was your 26th episode. Now you're so far in.
Yeah.
2021. So I thought it was time. And this is one of the most classic episodes of Sunny. I think if you had their top 10, once the show finally ends, this is going to be in there as one of their most iconic. And when they toured it, I was in it. So
you were in it?
Yeah. Well, you guys mentioned it on the episode previously. Diana mentioned that it had gone on tour nationally. I actually saw it when they did it in a small club called the Troubadour. Shout out to my friend Francis, who used to work there. And I got to see it the first time they ever did it live. So it was really small. I think the Troubadour holds maybe 500, no more than that, people. And it's a general admission type of place, really small. Elton John's played there in the 70s.
Yeah.
And then when they, months later, when they decided to go national and kind of hit all the big cities, Playboy had a contest. I could not afford to go. So I found a contest on playboy.com. I was like Googling, and I entered like several different emails, like as many times as you could every day. And so I won tickets. What I didn't know is when we showed up, I think up to four other people won. Only three showed up, and they're like, okay, well, before the show, you're going to come on stage. We're going to pull a name out of the hat, and whoever's name, you're going to be Gladys. And I got to be Gladys when they played Hollywood at the Palladium.
Oh my God. Did you do the lines too that she has in the episode, or are you just like
only there? Up to like Calvin Coolidge, and then I didn't like stay on stage when she's like playing the piano and being like, what is happening? Like, I didn't do all that, just like the initial like come on stage. But the only downside, I didn't get to see the show. I had to be backstage until her part, and then so that's like most of the show. So but the cool part is, because Gladys is so in with Charlie, I got to sit with Charlie Day, like specifically by myself, and like he was making sure I was okay and if I was okay. But all the other cast came through, and Danny DeVito, just unprompted, Matilda's one of my favorite movies, he came in, he's like, this is like when I directed Matilda. And I was like, oh my God, like flipping out. And I have the script, and it's signed by the whole cast. It's framed in my living room. It's probably like top five most prized. Was that if there was a fight, my house caught on fire, I'm grabbing my dog and that script.
I honestly did not know that you did this. Like listeners, honestly, I am like kind of fangirling. I'm like, let's throw out the episode and just talk about the live then.
Well, and then the cool part about not the first time they did it, but this part, which I didn't get to see, the McPoyles are in a part that they add. They think they run in or something, but I did get to see like Jimmy Simpson and the other McPoyle brother backstage. And like, I love Loser growing up, the Jason Biggs movie.
Okay.
So like, and Jimmy Simpson's in that. And when he came in, I was like, oh my God, like, so that was cool. They have like a cast photo with them all that where it is. I wish that I had better hair. Like, I wore my hair better back then. It's like not cute. Like, the pictures aren't cute, but like the memories are.
that's the important thing, that you have good memory. Now, just maybe one last question on this. I don't know where we're gonna go. With the live show, because you also saw it, so it was the same basically, right?
They expanded it on the, like the big national when they did it the first time. It was kind of just like the whole thing. just like how you see in the episode. And like I have the program from that, which is just like an 8x10 paper folded that says like and like I think I only have Caitlin and Rob McElhenney's autograph on that one. And it was during season 8 of American Idol. And he wrote fuck Adam Lambert on it because he didn't like him.
Wow, bold words.
Yeah.
But the actual live performance, it's just the show that's in the episode, right? It's
Yeah, that one.
not the
Yeah,
whole
they
rehearsal
don't.
process
No,
or
just like the show, I believe. No. Yeah, just the show. From what I remember, yeah.
wow,
I
that's
think the live
amazing.
version might be a little longer, but like when I saw it the first time, it was just like the play that I.
Okay, because like the play, if you think about it, is probably what, like not even 10 minutes long.
Actually, yeah, I think actually though they do the episode, but yeah, as good as you can on a stage, just fit them in it.
So, you listened to the first chance of it. Was there anything that we left out that you wanted to talk about?
No, Diana really expanded on a lot of things I never even thought of. I don't think I think that deep when I watched It's Always Sunny at like back then, because like I was just getting out of college. I'm not thinking about like the content that much. I'm just being entertained. I never got that it was like Charlie's actual story, so she opened my eyes to that. I don't think she mentioned how like the troll, like Danny DeVito being the troll, he is the bad influence on Charlie being the way he is. And so to kill the troll is kind of like getting rid of that bad influence so he can be the man the waitress deserves.
Interesting. Okay, so I still haven't watched the show.
Oh no, you said you're gonna watch it and you're like,
No,
nah.
I watched the episode, and the show is still on like the to watch list that's ever growing, because there's always new content and everything. But watching it this time, though, I don't know if it's in this episode only, but it feels like they're honestly friends, because like we've all had that one person, or we were that one person that went to our friends and we're like, I want to do this thing, and sometimes you get a little like push and pull, but at least in this one they're all like, fuck yeah, I'll be in your show.
They're
I'm
also
gonna
all arrogant, so they want to be the stars of
right
something.
but like I mean the fact that they seemed a little hurt when he was gonna pull it away from them, that's more so where I'm like, you guys are like actually friends. I know the whole point is that you're garbage people and it's a little heightened reality, but at the end of the day, you're all friends. Like you're gonna, yeah, even Danny DeVito.
Yeah, I mean, like when, like you said, like when he came in, like I wrote a musical, and they're like, "All right, well, what's it? What's our? What's the go? Like, what's the purpose of it? Let's do this." Like, and then they're like, "No, it's not for anything. I just wrote a musical." And then, yeah, you find out, no, it's not. There was a reason why he wrote a musical.
Oh yeah, there was. Which is so because I haven't watched it, and I don't remember if we answered the question in the first chance, I'm now gonna ask you, does he end up with the waitress at some point?
No. There's
It's
like there's an episode where the gang goes to the Jersey Shore and Charlie and the waitress have a magical night, but it's because she was on like ecstasy or something. So it's like that's why like she's like, oh yeah, we're like hanging at the beach, we're having this magical moment, and she wakes up and she was like, what are you doing? And I think she was on ecstasy or something like that. But yeah, that's like as close as they ever get. I don't think it's ever going to happen for them. It's one of those, that's just
It's
the thing.
or like that's the last episode that he finally gets her.
I don't want them to get together. That's the chase makes it more exciting. Or the stalking, I shall say, makes it more exciting.
And in this one, he's clear that like I love the wordplay, because he makes the deal with her that if she comes, and he's like, sure, I won't stalk you anymore, and then all of a sudden at the end he's like, I didn't sign anything, fuck you.
Any paper, and she's like, it's like, waitress, get your life together and just move, just go leave Philly, and you won't have him anymore. That'd be a good episode when if she moves.
So I did also listen to the song "The Nightman." Like I saw, I watched a clip of it on YouTube and everything. And first of all, I just love that. Can Charlie not write? Is that the joke? He doesn't know how to
Yeah,
read or
he
write?
writes in kind of like hieroglyphic type things. he's illiterate. But actually, I think as the show has gone on, we're on what season 16 just wrapped. I think he in the end, he's going to be revealed to be the smartest. I think that's going to be the twist because there's moments in the series from season one to now that I think he's not as dumb as you think. This last season, we had Mac. Mac came out. He's a gay character now, since then. And he's like meeting this uncle who's definitely gay as well. And they're kind of like, but Mac's not seeing this is the dad he should have had. And Charlie's like, are you not getting it? Are you not getting it? Like, and then like Mac keeps messing it up. And so I think Charlie's smarter than he appears. He might not be book smart, but I think in common sense compared to the rest of the gang, he's smarter.
Because I mean,
He's
even
book
in
smart.
you can kind of see that in this episode,
He's like a savant.
where he has the vision, and they're being their garbage selves. And he's
I'm
like,
here.
"No, I'm here. I'm here. I'm here now. I'm here." Charlie Day is so good in this.
As someone who works like in theater, like, have you ever had those?
All the
I'm here.
time. All the time. Like the I think I said this in the first chance. This is so honest in a way with what the rehearsal process is like. And because I'm more backstage these days, but I remember when I was in high school, I did the school shows, and even then it was like, what are we doing?
I'm just gonna add a song. Don't add a song. Don't add a song. Like, what are you doing? I'm gonna add a song.
Oh my God. I also looking at her costume, I was like,
Aurora.
she looked like it was, what did I write down? Well, so I don't watch Adventure Time, but I feel like there's a princess in that show.
Princess Bubblegum.
Yeah, it's like the same dress, basically, right?
I feel like they took a like Sleeping Beauty like Aurora dress because I think she's the one with pink.
That's
I always
it.
in my memory I thought it was Princess Peach, but rewatching I'm like that's clearly I think an adult Aurora costume that is a little too small because she is like I'm gonna rip the pits. I'm gonna rip the pits. Don't you rip the pits?
I mean, I like that because it's too small, it makes it also real where you're like, we only had the budget for
Yeah.
this and we guessed on your size and we can't return it. So sorry.
And I also think it's Aurora because at cons you see this group of costuming a lot where they have each character and it's easy to get an Aurora costume.
Okay, because looking at it, I was like, it looks familiar. I just don't know what. Now that you say Aurora, I'm like, yes, the ballroom at the end where the two fairies are changing the colors. Like, yeah.
It's okay to forget Aurora. She's not until Little Mermaid. Do you need to know the princess?
Not that you're biased or anything from the last episode you were on. I was reading that the song "Dayman" is like pulls influence from Queen's Flash Gordon song, but to me, it kind of sounds more like a David Bowie song in a way. I don't know. I don't
Yeah.
know. I was. I mean, this episode. The episode is only like 20 something minutes, so I'm like, what are we gonna talk about?
Yeah, I think like Diana mentioned, they've had musical episodes in the past, and that's where some like Dennis's outfit comes back into play. So I think that, and they're of the age, they're Gen X, so they have that David Bowie from the 80s. So I think you're right on that. That's what they're coming from. That glam rock.
Well, yeah, the glam rock, of course, but because they borrowed from It's Flash, like that's where the IMDb trivia was pulling from, and I was like, I think you're stretching it a little bit right there. I think it's just supposed to be 80s,
Just wild. And they even had, even with Max, he got a little like like they pulled even a little different genre without for some reason.
The interesting thing about this is that they really played with genres. Like Tiny Boy is a Sondheim patter song. Troll Toll is so dumb. Boy,
Boy Soul.
boys hole. Boys soul. Boys
I
soul.
want to know, like, if what the writing process of what words sound like that, so
Yeah,
we
like
can
how.
get it. Like, where did they start? What was like the starting point of, like, did they have to work backwards? Like, we know we want this to be sort of rapey, so you
Yeah.
know, where was the point A to point B?
To go back, now I'm going back to the stage version because I need to know everything. Did they do that? What did they
Yeah, they
do
put
the
the blanket over.
But do you remember
They.
if even Danny DeVito said boys hole?
It sounds like what. Yeah. It's got.
Oh.
He's not gonna correct it. Yeah,
Oh my
you're like,
God. So they
I.
even went for the jokes that are in the
Yeah.
episode.
Because I mean, that's what fans wanted. I'm just shocked they even did it.
Are you
I was like,
though?
when they announced it, like the first show, I was like, okay, what can we expect? And being at the Troubadour, it was like, this is gonna be really weird. Cause like where the backstage is, you have to come down a lot of stairs. So they always had to enter from like a stairway to
Oh
the stage.
God.
So it was interesting.
Did Dee do her special song, her the song that she wrote too?
Yeah.
Oh
Don't want my number after the show. Yeah.
that is so funny that she's like, I don't want to be seen as somebody, even though I'm playing a character on stage, but I don't want to be seen as somebody, a little touching boys or anything like that. He's a man. He's a man.
Well, that comes back again, another kind of musical moment when the gang, what do they do, kind of like their own, when Toddlers and Tiaras was pretty poppin' and popular, they did their
God.
own version. They take on a
No.
boy, a young boy, and he does this kind of like America, and they draw little abs on him. Recommend, highly recommend this show. If you just explain it to people who do not watch, is like, why do you watch this show? It's horrible.
So with the show itself, is it are there like overarching storylines, or is it just like you're getting character development within a season?
Not at week to week, but there are like bits that continue, like Mac and Charlie's mom living together, that still continues on. It's not like a one-off episode. You have certain characters like the McFoyles, Rickety Cricket, who his life progressively gets worse because he's met these people. He starts out as like a man of the Lord, a preacher, and then comes back into contact with the gang, and now he's a homeless addict. And so his life got worse and continues to get worse. And what's great is David Hornsby, who's Rickety Cricket, is actually one of like the writers on the show
God.
and producers, and he's married to Emily Deschanel. So it's always crazy to think like Bones and that guy, the homeless guy.
Now, do they own the bar? They own the bar.
Yes.
Okay. So like that's like also, I know that's like a big setting for the show, or sometimes the only setting,
Yeah.
but they own the bar and work there. And that's, I guess, like part of the I guess that is the overarching thing is like we're at work.
Yeah, it's a workplace comedy of sorts in that way, but I think the bar is a character within itself, like Sex and the City, how New York is one of the characters. The bar, Patty's Pub, is definitely one of the characters of the show. You kind of see it progress and how it plays into things, like when they have a bar crawl and they have to battle. I think Diana mentioned it. One of the moments Charlie can't read is the private door saying pirates. Like, know, they have to battle other bars or just their shenanigans. But yeah, okay, they have some like themes they go through this episode. But for the most part, well, the COVID season where they go to Ireland. And they spend most of the season in Ireland. I think 3 to 4 episodes. That's kind of a whole series that string together. It's like for fans, it wasn't the funniest, but I think it was a really heartwarming like little moment because Charlie finally meets his dad. But the
Oh.
spoiler, his dad dies and they carry him up a big hill and toss him up a mountain because that's like the Irish way or whatever.
Course. I mean, they had to turn it into, they had to like twist it a little bit.
And they play into it being COVID too. They're not like ignoring it. And
Oh,
Dennis
good.
gets it, I believe, and like kind of goes like.
Oh my goodness. I'm looking at my notes here, and it's funny that you said that you played Gladys, because I just wrote Gladys rules. She's, I mean, I'm assuming she's a one-off character, just special to this episode. Yeah, she rules.
Yeah, when they were like, "You're gonna play the old person," so I had to wear like a wig and like the like those old lady kind of like pajama type shirts, type roby things. Yeah, moo moo.
The
So that's why I was backstage most of the time because they were like, "You have to do hair and makeup." I was like, "It's fine, just take the wig on." I didn't do any makeup. It was just the wig, but it
my
was
God.
pretty cool.
That
I
I'm
wish
so
they would have let me
jealous.
come out again at the end to do the Damien, but I did not. I was in the audience, but watching.
Oh, but I mean, that's good that you got to actually watch the ending.
Yeah, I was like, just back there, like, I wonder what's going on.
I wrote down during I was that little boy, like, this is there's moments of television that are just so embarrassing that I can't watch. And
Oh, like
like,
you're embarrassed for them.
yeah. And I'm like, oh, I can't. You're saying the wrong things right now. And like, I mean, it's smart writing because it's visceral like that. But I don't know. Did you feel the same way like
The
during?
only thing that's a little cringe, and it's be I mean, Charlie even mentions this is why I didn't want you to play the Daymare, the little boy, is because like Dennis and Dee are brother and sister. And like the sexual chemistry between like the princess and him was going to be a bit too much. So Charlie sees smart in that way, but of course the gang doesn't see it that way. So that's the only cringe because they are siblings. Well, they're twins in the show.
I didn't know that. So now it's like, oh, there's layers.
Yes, but that was probably the only part. I didn't even think like the troll toll was a weird part. I just think the whole brother and sister relation. It's like they say there's a kiss here.
And see, like, because he's coming down and proposing to the waitress who clearly hates him, it's like, oh my guy, read the room. I mean, I understand that your character's dumb and you're just chasing after the girl of your dreams, or so you think, but like, she's clearly laid boundaries.
Well, he had that rom-com fantasy of like grand gestures definitely gonna win her heart, but
It was
he
also
wrote a
very
creepy play.
operatic, the fact that he came down on the sun, and it was also I was also just like, what is the rehearsal process for this show? It seems like you put it up in like 3 days.
It was like, I wrote a musical. All right, now we're doing the musical. I think it was like, I think about 3 days it probably
Yeah.
prepped because my husband even mentioned, he's like, did Danny DeVito show up to set? Because at the end when they're singing, he's like, it seems like Danny doesn't know the moves as well. We
Oh,
don't know.
like the not the
Like,
character, the
but
actor.
Danny, he's just kind of like, oh, maybe I know what's going on. And I was like, I mean, maybe that plays into, maybe it's a character choice, like Frank being like the oblivious old guy.
Unless it was because Diana said, and I think you're gonna agree that like there was some like room for improv in the show. So unless it was like improv a dance.
I just think he didn't know.
Okay.
I think it was like Danny's gonna do what Danny's gonna do. And because they were lucky enough to get such like an iconic actor on their series, just let him go. Let him
Yeah, and
go.
that was That was just by happenstance, right? Because he wasn't in the first season.
I mean, the seed, it did well. And then when they got picked up again, I think that maybe the studio wanted this a little bit more, someone for pull, and went to Danny and he said yes. And I was like, thank God, because I couldn't imagine my life without this show. I like Diana, I've watched since the premiere. I remember FX wasn't really promoting it. They were promoting the other show called Starved, which was about people with various like eating disorders that had like a kind of a group meeting. Of course, that show didn't last. And I just
Oh.
happened to watch Sunny after it, since I was just like, what's on? And I was like, it's instantly in love. And the first episode is the gang gets racist. And I was like, I growing up on like being a South Park girl, I was like, this is for me.
It has similar Matt and Trey vibes to
I
it.
mean, they're all Cartmans. Like a show of just adult Cartmans in a way.
I mean, I feel like every once in a while someone's a Stan or a Kyle.
Feel like they don't have a Kyle. Kyle is my favorite character on South Park because he's like the voice of reason. Maybe Charlie's getting to a Kyle over the years, but at this moment, I feel like they're all a Cartman season four. But yeah, I feel like it's if South Park and Seinfeld had a baby, these trash people would have came out and bought a bar in Philadelphia. I mean, they even have an episode where they are kind of like poking fun at the Seinfeld thing.
Because I was thinking, like, this seems very, very Seinfeld in like the structure of it, where like it's just about nothing.
And they're horrible. But then that episode, Dennis and Mac both have like the Seinfeld Ruffly shirt because it's like, well, who gets to be the Seinfeld? Who gets to be the lead? So that's really funny.
Oh my goodness. Maybe this year. I just started watching Grey's Anatomy.
Oh,
So
Ma, it'll be a while.
it'll be a while. But I feel like It's Always Sunny is also gonna be a while, 'cause that's what, 16 seasons you said?
Yeah, they're the longest running live action sitcom now, but I think it's kind of a cop out because their seasons are so short. I mean, Frasier busting out 23 back in the day each season, like that's impressive. So to do only like 8 or 10 episodes.
Yeah, and like they're also, because was Frasier 30 minutes or an hour?
30
Okay,
sitcom.
because this is short. Yeah.
And I mean, Frasier even came back.
Oh, I'm assuming you're a fan of Frasier.
Huge fan of Frasier. Huge, huge, huge. Love it, love
Did they do a musical episode? I feel like they should have, because of.
Sadly, no. How much they loved opera and everything. No, they never did a musical episode.
Plus, they have Kelsey Grammer and David Hyde Pierce.
I even went, and me and my husband, we fell in love with Frasier, and then he was going to be in LA at the LA Opera doing Kincaid,
Candide?
Candide, yeah. And we were like, okay, let's get fancy and go. Obviously, we never go to the opera, so we're like, what do we wear? We dressed semi-casual. We dressed nice. We go, and we're in the middle, and there's people in ball gowns, and then there's people in sweatpants, and we're like, I don't know what the opera's supposed to be. I'd never been to one, and I didn't know. We left at intermission because we didn't know there was more going on. We thought it was, and it was in a different language. So we were like, okay. And then we heard that noise, and people started walking back in, and we're like, well, we already ordered the Uber, so we're gonna go. We were like, so, and we were so high up. It was one of those Groupon tickets, so, and it was fine, but it was just.
You wanted to see it, not hear it.
Yeah, and it was like, it's like steep. It was terrifying up there. I
Well,
was
for
like,
the next opera you see.
never again. One and done. If he does like a play or something, I'll go to that, but not an opera.
Oh my God. Yeah. I'm just imagining like this. I feel like with the show, they could have actually made a longer version of it, which like you said they did, but like do they add more of the lore of whatever this story is that Charlie's trying to say?
I think they could have added a few more prank songs. I feel like the troll could have been a bigger role. I think maybe a little backstory of the princess, because we kind of just like go into it. Maybe the
Right.
meeting. I think they could have, but they hit a sweet spot with
I
it.
mean,
But yeah, I think they could have added songs.
for the television show, yes, this length makes sense, but because they took it out and brought the show itself to the real world, I feel like there is something there and they could expand upon it. Maybe because both you and Diana have said that the show is very like musical in a way, where like when they introduce the concept of the Night Man, they're making a band and they've done other musical episodes. So I feel like they could have pulled those. They could, if they're going to do this again, I'm saying they could pull those songs and figure out to make like a longer skit.
Well, if Rob McElhenney calms down with his bromance with Ryan Reynolds in the next couple of years, their 20th anniversary is coming up in 2025. It would be interesting to see them go out and take Dayman on the road. Then, I mean, the big cities, hit like 10 cities again and see what they could do with maybe a 20th anniversary of the show as a whole and do all the musical moments and or maybe write just a stage play of an episode. I don't know.
The show is 20.
And 2025, it'll hit 20 years.
Oh
Or,
my
yeah.
God. That is
Yeah.
I that is an accomplishment. And yeah, I know you kind
Or
of
20,
like
no. 20, wait, 2009 it came out. I'm sorry.
no, the show
Is it
itself
2005?
started 2005. I'm seeing it
Okay,
right.
yes.
Yeah, the episode we're talking about happened in 2008.
Okay, yeah, stage shows 2009. So I think if they wanted to do something big for their 20th anniversary, maybe that's it. We'll
Unless
see.
they turn it into like a little cabaret moment of like the greatest hits of It's Always Sunny.
Which they could. Yeah, I mean, she mentioned they did the gang turns black. I'm not sure if that's the whole the title, but that one where they do like the sort of whiz one. Very interesting episode. But yeah, because I'm a black guy is
How do
one
they
of
get
the.
away with this? Like,
I think it was like more of a social commentary. Like they did it smut like from the gang gets racist to that episode, you kind of see their growth in writing. And on their podcast, they talk a lot about like, oh yeah, we probably couldn't or wouldn't do that today. So they definitely have grown with how they approach topics. So that's yeah. So
I
they did it
mean,
well.
growth, we're here for that. But from hearing what both of yours, what you and Diana have described, I'm just like, I mean, I understand comedy is subjective and like what we find funny now, we probably didn't 10 years ago, and what we found funny 10 years ago, we realized that's super offensive. So it's a weird balance.
I'm wondering like how, because you have shows like I Love Lucy and Cheers where it lives in syndication and it's kind of simple and easy humor. And then you have South Park and It's Always Sunny. I'm like, how well will this age and will this be something like my friends' children want to watch? Or so, because I do love Lucy a lot. I think I Love Lucy's the best show ever. So I'm like, how well will future generations appreciate this, maybe they will, but it seems like the kids today, I don't know, they're a little more.
Well, you
Yeah.
have, it's part of the conversation of like, this is satire. They are not, the people don't cancel the people because they are actors, first of all, and the writers of it are making commentary on something. This episode, not so much. The specific episode, The Night Man Cometh, not so much. Yes, there's they make the rape joke and the incest joke, but like Those aren't the heart. Those aren't like the other ones that you mentioned, where they where it sounds like they basically do blackface, but I'm assuming they don't.
No, well, they have before. They do their Lethal Weapon episodes where they write sequels, and yes, D and Mac have done some blackface.
Now, when we say, I know that there's the
Not with
connotation
like
of
the with the like the
with the
lips and
white,
everything,
yeah.
but they are a different skin tone. Yes.
The America's Next Top Model it. Oh no.
It is to you have to just Google Sweet D, and that she looks insane. And don't quote, I think they tell a story where like there was an accident on set, and one either her or him had to go to the ER in the blackface. I think that was like the story, but I'm like, oh my God.
Let me see. Hold on.
So for any if anything's not aging well, it's their Lethal Weapon episodes.
Well, yeah. And but I think what's great, and like this is what, season four of the show? So clearly they've bonded as a cast, but it's sounding like even from the get, like they were just the best of friends. Like they, and that is something that like I know that they're actors and it's their job to pretend like they like people, but like every you can feel it when it's honest.
Well, I mean, starting the show together too, I think Diana mentioned they did do the pilot for very little money, and it was just the three of them. Caitlin actually had a different Sweet D. They replaced her, like, then they got Caitlin, and I think Caitlin and Rob ended up falling in love by season two, started dating. And I remember, I think it was Dennis was like, no, do not date her, because like, what if something happens? And them. Like, we have something good going here. You're gonna mess up the show, but thankfully they're still together. But yeah, I think that's being a cohesive bond outside of the show definitely has helped them become 16 seasons in and continue on. No place well.
Is this is going to be a fast episode, everyone. I tried. But is there anything else you want to talk about before we get into Sharp and Flat?
No. No,
No?
just that it's the best show ever, and I hope you give it a chance. Grey's Anatomy is what, 300 seasons now?
Yes.
They've
I
been
mean,
doing hospitals.
I could probably bounce around and like the good thing about It's Always Sunny is it's not
It's
30
quick.
minutes, it's like 20 something because there's no commercials. So like I can bang out a season faster th than I can bang out a season of Grey's Anatomy.
And some of their seasons, again, so short, but they're so good. You have, oh, the one with where Guillermo del Toro guest stars. It's one of my
Whoa.
favorites. I know. I blog too, and I just did a like actors you and like celebrities you didn't know or you might have forgot have popped up on It's Always Sunny. And Puff Daddy, Guillermo del Toro, Sinbad and Rob Thomas together was a great episode. To so many.
What? But I feel like you're just pulling names and words out of the air right now.
Sizemore. Just so many great people. But Scott Bakula was on the one where they're black.
Oh,
That's him. I was because
okay.
it was kind of The Wiz meets Quantum Leap. The Wiz for the music, Quantum Leap for like jumping into a different body. And so Scott Bakula is at the end. I actually didn't know Scott Bakula was a real person because, like, they in Bob's Burgers, the Aunt Gail loves like Scott Bakula, and I thought it was a made-up name for the show. And then my
Oh.
husband doing his '90s show was like, "Oh, I gotta watch Quantum Leap." I never heard of that show because I was like a child,
Ah.
like a too little to watch something like that. So I was like, "Oh," and that show is insane.
Quantum Leap? Yeah. Yeah, it's truly bonkers. And the fact that it just ends.
I hear a
Sorry to
lot of people upset about
spoil.
that.
Well, no, I think it got canceled. I don't think like they were
Don't know.
able to.
He it says at the end, and we don't know if he comes back or so, like a black screen with words, which I think is the worst way to end a show. Black screen with words. Or like I like the Sopranos ending.
Ah, yes.
That infamous one. I think that was good. I think that one I'll let pass, but I also not invested in that show. But Like if Sunny did something like that, when it finally ends, I'd be like,
But I feel like if they were to do it, it would be a big punchline.
you always wonder, like, how are these shows that last over? I think once you get to 10, you're like, well, when are we going to wrap it up and how are we going to wrap it up? So I always think about that for Sunny. I'm thinking the bar is just going to burn down.
I mean, yeah. And then they're like, I guess we're gonna go on from here.
I think they're going to, and then they'll just buy like a property next door and start all over.
It'll be the same exact bar because that's the set
Yeah.
that
They're like, oh, this was here the whole time.
they have. Let's get into Shep and Flat, shall we?
Yes.
Sharp Flat.
So in this section, we're going to highlight some moments, whether or not we talked about it. If we liked it, it's sharp. And if we didn't like it or thought it could change, it's flat. And because it is the second chance of it, we're going to see if John agrees with his former sharps and flats. Spoiler alert, yes, but I have new sharps and zero new flats. But Kendra, the floor is yours. You can start with sharps, you can start with flats, just go.
I think a sharp was it is Charlie's entrance from above. His whole scene, that
Yes.
whole moment. I love the highs and lows of his voice. I'm like not sure where this song's gonna go. There's no real rhyme or reason. He's just like up and down with it. Sweet D's improv song is probably my favorite moment of the whole episode. And I love Mac and Dennis together and their like stage fight.
Now,
And Diana mentioned I like when Dennis has to get the gun for his part, and he's just like reaching behind him
oh my God.
haphazardly.
Have you done theater? Have you done like acting in a show besides Gladys?
No, just like high school, I was an extra, and then the next play, I was sound, so that's about it.
But like, okay, so you've kind of done theater. Do you think this is relatable? Because I was watching it, I was like, I may have seen the rant that Charlie gives to who is it, D? Yeah. Yeah, the rant about cutting her song. I feel like I've heard something similar to that. That gun moment, I'm pretty sure we did that in high school where you're like, I don't know where my prop is.
I think
But
the
like,
most relatable was when D improvs and the lights don't know where to go because I was in high school and it's like, this kid, we don't. Plus, my school was not like a theater-based school or not a performing arts school. So you just have random kids who just want to leave school and go smoke in the park, like trying to do lights, like to get a grade.
so Caitlin Olsen, is she a writer on the show too, or is she
No,
just
she kind of does nothing other than be Sweet D.
well, because I was gonna ask if like then she probably didn't write that song.
I think it's all the guys mostly. I think a lot of it's Rob, her husband, which
Got
is
it.
funny because they shit on her the most for being like, you look like a bird, you're horrible, like, we don't care what you think. Yeah, her being a bird, that's one of the longest running gags of the show. Yes, like, what is like a theme? D is a bird. And if you watch the episode where they're, I think it's the Halloween one, she be. During it, she becomes a bird more and more. Like she'll, the first one, she's deep, then she'll have some feathers. And then by the last shot, it's just an ostrich. And when I
Oh.
tell you, I lost my mind. Like,
This show is so, I mean, that yes, there's a lot of offensive stuff that they do, but something like that is brilliant. You know, it's kind of like in Schitt's Creek. Similar situation actually when Moira's on set for the show and for the movie the Crows Have Eyes, and then
Oh,
throughout the one episode she slowly
and
adds more, and then we see her go crazy in the nest. You're like, this is it. This is perfection. Do you have any other sharps? Do you have any flats?
no, I agree. Like, I think Diana says kind of the whole episode's a sharp. It's one of their best. Like I
Yeah.
said, I think when it ends, this is going to be like peak Sunny for them. So yeah, whole episode. There's like some episodes, like I'm a super fan, but there's some seasons and episodes where I'm like, where are we dialing it in here? But
Oh.
this one, I mean, I'm if I love you, I'm gonna tell you that you're horrible too. I'm not gonna praise you. Like I love
Okay.
Backstreet Boys, I'm gonna tell them that last album, trash. So
Not everything is gold. Yeah.
yeah, like but for me, this whole episode is peak what I love about the show.
So attacking this as somebody who's not a fan, or like not yet a fan, I just haven't watched it. So when I say I'm not a fan, it's just like, again, I haven't been able, I just haven't watched it, so I don't know. Honestly, it's a pretty solid episode that I last time on the first chance, I didn't have any flats. I don't have flats again for this time because like it's 20 minutes, I'm laughing my ass off, and like it's so relatable. It's I feel like whoever was like the head writer for this one episode was
Yeah.
like, I need to talk about something that happened in high school, but like we're setting it in our present day. So
Like get that trauma out.
yeah. But I do have new sharps. Because like last time I did sharp the whole episode just because it's so funny, but I have like, now specific things. I sharped Charlie's script in the opening, the prop that he has of just like a massive wad of papers strewn together. I'm like, that is genius. Like, and as somebody, as a character who can't write, like, I was just like, I wonder what's on those pages.
There's one episode where you see how he writes, and it is just like kind of it's hieroglyphic-y.
In when he sings The Nightman, which I believe is like the season before this one, he hands somebody his lyric sheet, and
Yeah,
you it's
it's
all like
just
ancient Egyptian hieroglyphics, like, and he's even like, "What's this? I don't understand what you're doing." I also just sharped like the friendship of it all, like the fact they say yes to doing. I mean, they're all up to hijinks in every episode, right? Or almost every episode, there's some sort of scam or hijinks that they talk because they mention it at the beginning of this one. What's your angle? But this is a group of friends that I feel I would like to have, minus the problematic nature of them.
They're really ride or die vibes.
Would you add any of the songs to your life's playlist?
I think I agree with Diane. I think Damien, because it's so like big, it's so integral to the Sunny lore. And when you're out and you're in public and then you see the people, like I go to the conventions and I see them in the outfits and you just start singing it, and you know, this is my tribe. They're trash like me. They get this sense of humor. So I would say Damien, definitely. And having been in it, of course. Having gotten to do it, yeah.
I'm gonna expand upon this because I know usually when I ask this question, it's specific to whatever we just watched, but would you add Nightman as well?
No, just
No.
the
Just
Damien.
Damien. I agree with you. I think Damien is a bop. I mean, put like more instrumentation behind it, and you've got yourself like a rock anthem, I feel, or can have one.
Yeah, I think, yeah.
Yeah, and okay, well, on that note, Kendra, we blasted through this episode, and I tried. We
Oh, did
tried.
you flat? Flat.
Oh, do you have any flats?
My only flat is more Danny DeVito, more trolls.
Oh,
I
okay.
feel like Danny was a little lackluster, and like we didn't see him as much as we could have seen Frank in this episode. It's more Frank. Give him more.
Do each episode like do they kind of focus on one of the group members? Like this is very Charlie centric.
I feel like there's always an A and a B plot. This one does not have that, but usually kind of A and B, they'll usually, if they're not together, they are kind of separate. Like Charlie and D will do something, and then Mac and Dennis are doing their own thing. Like it, yeah, they have an A and a B plot usually.
Well, this one is very much
Yeah, this one's just the
the
musical.
musical, but like you have the musical, but then you have what the musical is as the B plot. So it's all about the musical and Charlie centric. Okay,
Yeah,
because I was
sometimes though, like they usually break it up, but once in a while you get a whole gang together, like the high school reunion two-parter. Oh, highly suggest. There's a very good musical moment in that with George Michael that is amazing.
Well, I was asking because like I wasn't sure if like there was a Frank-centric episode or episodes.
He has his moments. He's usually paired with somebody, but yeah, Frank gets his highlights
Okay.
from now on.
But just not in this one.
No, it was Charlie's day. Charlie Day.
I mean, at least there's that one scene in this episode of the Troll Toll rehearsal where he's fucking up and it's so funny. I
He's got the gum. I said, "No gum."
said to go.
Here.
Well, on that note, unless is there anything else that you want to mention before we wrap it up?
Nope, just that. I hope that you get to it.
Maybe
Enjoy.
before, but I mean, we've got some time before I release this episode. Maybe I'll start it so I can say I've started it. But Kendra, we're done with the episode. Yay. What do you have to plug or promote?
You could just go to crushgasmpodcast.com to find all my things about my podcast, Crushgasm, or you can also go to kendrawritesstuff.com because I'm also a blogger and I do a lot of lists like most iconic cartoon characters of the 21st century so far. All the times pop culture had us seeing red. So when red is mentioned in music, movies, and scenes or fashion, which is a really fun and interesting list to do, characters that are red. Baby powder.
Oh.
So I thought it was a fun list to do. But yeah, kendrawritesstuff.com and crushgasmpodcast.com.
Did him make the list from Powerpuff Girls?
No. Sadly, I didn't. I know there were so many. I had to cut some because like I'm also like, I have to write this. So I try to keep
True.
it to like, tw I think this was my longest one so far with like 24 or 25 things. I almost missed Dorothy's shoes.
How
I
dare
know.
you?
It was like, I gotta cut someone out to put her those shoes in. I also have to use like pictures from a specific site. So if they don't have the photo, I cannot put them. And I don't think Powerpuff Girls has a lot of photos on the site.
Got it.
Unfortunately. That
You
would have
mentioned
been good.
you kind of mentioned your husband's podcast. Do you want to plug it? What is it?
Yeah, you can it's happened in the 90s. They pick a date in the 90s. It's usually they do their show on Thursday, so whatever date that is, they'll go back in the 90s, see kind of what movies or TV shows were out that day. And they talk about two of them. They do a lot of wrestling if you're into that. This week, when this airs, by the time they're doing Miami Vice, had one season, one episode in the 90s. Their series finale, I believe, was aired in the 90s. And I was like, that's crazy. I thought that was strictly 80s. But yeah, if you like the 90s, they talk about it.
Okay. And if you, I don't
Oh,
know,
I
if
have one
you,
more.
okay, yeah.
I do. Me and my husband do a show. It's called Food Show Fanatics because, like, we watch food shows like they are sports, like Hell's Kitchen, MasterChef, Kids Baking Championship, and we recap it like it is a sports show. Like we talk about all the contestants, what we liked and didn't like. So we're doing Kids Baking Championship right now. We've done Food Truck Race. We started Halloween Baking Championship, but we were moving during that time, so we didn't get to finish. But yeah, check that out
Oh,
too. I know life happens.
the Great British Baking Show?
I cannot watch that. It's too nice. It's too serene.
you need the
Yeah.
American competition
Yeah, like they're too
cutthroat.
serene on there. The even like Food Network, because like a lot of kids watch it now and get inspired. They're not as mean on that, but it is more like it's interesting, I guess. The British one, they're just the music they play on there is just too da, 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 da,
It's too,
da, and you're like
yeah, it's too nice to be like we need to talk about the podcast for a podcast. Like we could be
like,
like the technical challenge. Oh.
yeah, like Food Truck Race gets like they get cutthroat on there, and there's people like a legit or like they're villains. Like the kids, not so much. Back in the there was only one season of Kids Baking Championship where one kid was like, "I'm not gonna like help them. Like I'm here to win." One in all the seasons I've watched, but now they're also
Wow.
nice. Oh, these kids these days are sweethearts.
I mean,
Boring.
not everyone can be a Wendy Pepper.
But yeah, but Food Show Fanatics as well.
Future Fanatics,
Crush
Crushgasm,
Gasm, happened in the 90s. KendraWritesStuff.com.
KendraWritesStuff.com. You're doing everything. Wow.
Yep.
And have a full-time job. I'm impressed.
I know, dirty children. Dirty
And
children.
if you have a favorite episode of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia that is not The Nightman Cometh, I'd like to hear about it. You can email me at buttersungpod@gmail.com. I'm also on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at buttersungpod. Were you also Gladys in one of the live performances? Tell me your experience. Yeah, let's connect you to Kendra. Maybe you guys could be like, yes, I wore the wig. It smelled weird my night, you know. And if you want to be part of next episode's conversation, well, we're continuing on our Second Chance Theater Month with the Rocky Horror Picture Show. Ooh, yeah, sweet transvestite and stuff. Kendra, thank you so much for coming back on. We need
Thank
you to
you for
come
having
back.
me again.
I love having you on. You need to come back. It's
Thanks
always fun with you.
for having me.
And thank you everyone for listening, and bye for now.
Bye.
Special thanks to Aaron Choi for creating the pod's artwork and to Nick Bombacino for composing the theme song and the jingles. A huge thank you to CastBox for hosting this podcast. And thank you again for tuning in to today's episode of Life's But a Song. Bye for now, everyone, and have a musical day.